previous year, we were talking about the very ABCs of Brech Senen, whether Brech Senen is a mitzvah mid-rabbanon, or perhaps even a mitzvah mid-raisa. So the overwhelming majority of opinions is that Brech Senen, the brach at least before food, is only mid-rabbanon, even though the Gemara quotes a svar for it. Perhaps that svar does not have enough to create a real din deraisa. We said there may be a dissenting view, maybe there's even a tosis perhaps, but again, the conventional wisdom is that Brech Senen is only mid-rabbanon. Because Brech Senen is only mid-rabbanon, that leads us to the corollary that if a person is not sure whether they're obligated to recite a bracha, then we plug in a called suffix bracha for hokil, and one would not be required to recite the bracha. So if I have an apple in my hand and I got a little distracted and I can't remember, that I make a bracha? I make a bracha. So the din is that you can continue to eat it. You can eat the apple and you do not require to recite a bracha. So we raised the shayla at the very end of the shiur 2 weeks ago. We want to know, how do we understand that? How do we permit you, in a sense, to eat the apple without maybe having recited a bracha? Isn't that a suffix violation of the yisur of asar liyad mahanas with all the level of bracha? So we suggested two different approaches at the end of this year, 2 weeks ago. So one approach is that, you're right, it may be a violation, and we're going to risk it. You know why? Because that violation is only midrabanan anyway. So just as, well, other than midrabanan, we plug in the rule suffix midrabanan lekula. Vis-a-vis that iser, that terrible, terrible iser derabanan called not benefiting from this world, not a bracha, that's only mid derabanan, and we have a right to say suffix derabanan lekula. That was the simple shot. And then we didn't want to suffice with a simple shot. We wanted to give a little bit of a razzle-dazzle shot. So we wanted to develop this idea that maybe when a person is not obligated to recite a bracha, the iser, in a sense, falls by the wayside. It was almost a question of the chicken and the egg. What causes what? Do we say there's an independent iser called the nanim and amazebeli bracha that stands on its own 2 feet? The way to solve that problem is to recite a bracha. Or maybe no. Maybe the only reason why that iser exists in the first place is because the option of reciting a bracha exists. Since you have the opportunity to recite a bracha and you're not, that's the iser. That's the nature of the iser. Fine gemita, it's a very, very nuanced difference. It's a big difference. The difference is, in a situation where the halacha ties your hands, in a situation where the halacha says don't make a bracha, do you have to reckon with that iser or not? So if you hold that the iser stands on its own 2 feet, and there's an independent iser called the nen and omazeb lo bracha, whether or not you can make a bracha or not is irrelevant. The iser has its own strength to it. But if you hold that the iser only emanates from the opportunity, from the possibility of reciting a bracha, so then if that possibility doesn't exist, then you know, the iser doesn't exist either. So if you go down the second route, it would explain why there's such a phenomenon called suffix brichas ben lekula. Everyone knows this. Then you're not sure you made a bracha, eat the apple without a bracha, you're fine, you're home free. What's the love this? What we're suggesting now is that since the whole iser emanates from the requirement to make a bracha, since Hilchos Brachas requires you not to make a bracha when you have a suffix, so Mamela there's no iser to reckon with. The only problem is this is so true or not? That's really where we left off in the previous year. Is this correct or not? How would we even begin to prove the lomdus, which lomdus is correct? Is there an independent iser, or does the iser emanate from the ability to make the bracha? So the chara, the litmus test, is to find another situation in halacha where for some technical quirk of a reason, you don't have to make a bracha. Some kind of tangential reason that exempts you, or even more than exempts, perhaps even prohibits you from making a bracha. And I want to know, could I eat the food anyway? Am I permitted to eat food in a situation where the halacha dictates not to recite a bracha? So that'll be a test. If the issa stands on its own 2 feet, then it'll be a problem. But the issa only emanates from the ability to make a bracha, and that ability staying away from me, then the issa will disappear. So what's the test? What's the answer to that riddle? I think Dr. Fisher has, as we were walking out, after the show was over, Dr. Fisher told me, case of what? Case for Onay. So if we take a look at the Kibbutz Mesechus Brachas, at the bottom would be Zion of the Bays. The very bottom of the Zion of the Bays, meaning the third parak, so the Gemara is talking about the Dinim of Aninus, someone who just lost a close relative. So the Mishnah, the Gemara elaborates about all the prohibitions of an Onay. The very last line, it says, the very four words before the end of the Gemara, four Zion of the Bays, the Einam Bevarech, basically, the Onein doesn't recite brachas. He doesn't recite brachas either before food, doesn't recite brachas after food, doesn't mention pesuma, doesn't mention all the other. Bottom line is, the Onein is exempt and totally out of the parasha brachas. Okay, so the Onein is out of the parasha brachas. Nowhere do we find that the Onein is b'chur to starve. din is ain't oich abosin, it's just yain, he's not allowed to meat and wine, he's allowed to eat regular food. How could it be? I eat tochen. How could an onen eat food? What happened to the isser of osel yadol malos, lohanas peros of lo bracha? An onen is not allowed to violate veiris. An onen is potter for mitzvahs, but he's not allowed to do isurim. So it seems pretty clear from this halacha that our fancy lomdos is in fact correct. That the source of the Isser is not really an independent Isser. The Isser emanates from the requirement to recite a bracha, and that requirement falls by the wayside, either in the case of an oinen or in the case of a subic bracha. So the Isser falls by the wayside as well. But before we get back to the intricacies of Masechet Brachas, I want to just think about this for a moment, this model that we just set up in Halacha, that we find almost brachas is somewhat positive and has a certain dimension negative to it, and the negativity is stemming from the positive. Because it's fundamentally a mitzvah seh seh midrabban. Fundamentally, brachas is a positive thing, and any isurim are almost like a sideshow, the secondary, they emanate from the positive, but the positive is the whole yisur. So that's an interesting idea, because even though it's brachas is midrabbanan, that concept exists in the Torah, called the tikkun rabbanan came deraisa tikkun, when the chacham institute things. So the mitzvahs, the details of the Rabbanan, but the basic construct of a particular mitzvah follows the Raisitical rules. So is there such a concept in the Torah? Do we have such a similar, very, very similar model in the world of the Raisitical mitzvahs, where the Torah itself throws at you a mitzvah seseh, throws at you a mitzvah losa seh, and somehow we figured out that the losa seh really doesn't stand on its own. The losa seh is there, in a sense, as a result of the essay. The basic mitzvah is an essay, and the losa is coming almost like chazik as an essay. Do we have any models? It's not the most like obvious model that comes to mind. Okay, I'll give it a while. So Gemara Maseches Kedusha and Daf Lamed Aleph. The Gemara lists off the famous sugya is a mitzvah essay she'ein hazman grama. So first you have the mitzvah essay she'hazman grama. So we spoke a little bit about that on Shabbos, the Talmud and the film. Then you have the mitzvah essay she'ein hazman grama. And the Braisa concludes that women are obligated all the mitzvahs she'ein hazman grama. So the Braisa, I mean, except one or two exceptions here and there. So the Braisa rattles off a whole list of mitzvahs she'ein hazman grama. One of the mitzvahs is the asisa ma'akelik ayecha. If a woman builds a house, so she is required to build a ma'akeh, build a fence around the roof, which would fall off. That's a mitzvah asay, the asisa ma'akelik ayecha. Make a bracha when you build a ma'akeh, if you're zoichet to the ma'akeh. If you know how to nail on a market. The sisa ma'akelik agecha, it's a mitzvah deraisa, it's not zman grama, you can do it a day, you can do it a night, you can do it whatever, Tuesday, Monday, Wednesday, anytime, there's no limitation, you can't do it on Shabbos, but that's nothing to do with the mitzvah of ma'akeh. The mitzvah of ma'akeh is all the time. So therefore, it qualifies the mitzvah seisha as the law of zman grama, that's the reason why women are chakamas. Who's got a cash? Who's got a cash? First of all, I'll tell you why women are chayavas to the ma'akeh, you know why? Because it's mitzvah seisha as zman grama. What is the Gemara? Chipping on the fact that it's a mitzvah say. It's a low sasei. Lo sasim davi veisecha. If you build a house and no build a machi in violation of a law in the Torah, women are obligated in all low sasei. Even zman grumas. Women can't do malach and Shabbos. Women can't eat chametz and Pesach. Women are obligated in all mitzvahs low sasei, even those which are zman grumas. So what is the Braisa like discover America and say, oh, by the way, you want to know why women are chayavas and building a machia? Yeah? Because it happens to be Ein Hazman Grama. And if it wouldn't have been Ein Hazman Grama, women would have still been chayavas. So what's pshat in the Braisa? So the Ramban is a fascinating comment. It's Kedai, take a look. Look at every Ramban. It's Kedai, look at the Ramban and says, Kedushin, that's the gift. The Ramban says, the thrust of machia is the mitzvah sasei. V'sisa machia l'kayach. You know why the Torah throws a low sasei at you? Because not everybody takes sasei so seriously. Well, what's the mitzvah sasei between friends? Comes the Ramban and says, sometimes the Torah throws a low sasei at you, l'chazek asasei. It means just to strengthen the eyes of people, to strengthen the asei, to force people in a sense to do the asei. But the ikaron, the mitzvah of makkah, is really a mitzvah sasei. And therefore, argues the Ramban, Im Timtzilim at building a makkah would have been as my grandma, yet it happens not to be. When the world would make believe in our imagination that building a makkah would have been as my grandma, then guess what? Women would have been exempt. I give out Kishrigan, it says, Losasim Dom Beisecha. Yeah, Dr. Ramban. Losasim Dom Beisecha is not an independent, yes, sir. Losasim Dom Beisecha is there, Lachazik Esa Asay. So the Asay is the name of the game. So we pass in the Shaila based on the Asay. If the Asay is my grandma, I'm Turas, the Asay is my, not my grandma, I'm Rechayavas, that's what the Braisa means. And don't act with Charnik with Losa, said Losa, says only the Lachazik Asay. So
So that model that the Ramban has in the world of Yeraisas, that you have sometimes areas of Allah that have Aseis and Los Aseis, in a sense connected to them, it's always important to focus, to zero in, and what's the essence of the mitzvah? Is the essence fundamentally an Aseh and is governed by the rules of Aseh? Or is the essence fundamentally a Los Aseh and is governed by the rules of Los Aseh? Just one more marshal, just to highlight again this point, and before I go back to my Sefer Brach and Sugyas. There is a Sugya that appears in a few places. It's a Sugya of Oseh B'mitzvah, Potter B'mitzvah. So the Gemara says that if a person has been Oseh B'mitzvah, they're Potter from giving tzedakah. Very sure, Gemara. If I'm in the middle of taking care of your lost object and an Ani comes knocks at my door, I don't have to answer the door. I'm not B'chur to give tzedakah. Oseh B'mitzvah, Potter B'mitzvah. Let's say a person is in the middle of davening, in the middle of Kriyashma, and an Ani walks by you, it's going to be a whole to-do until I get the money out. It's going to mess up my whole Kriyashma. Not B'chur to give. If it's Epshel Kamp Shnei Bakal, then maybe you should give. But if it's going to interfere with your davening, so as long as I'm being Isaac the mitzvah, say Krishma, say Bios Krishma, the real mitzvah, I never know what the din is around Pesukah and Zimra. Pesukah and Zimra is a machlekes, whether it's a real Chiyuv Pesukah and Zimra, or it's more of a Midas Chasidus or something. It's a machlekes in the Rishonim, whether Pesukah and Zimra was a real form of Tekhanat Chacham or not. If it was a form of Tekhanat Chacham, then Isaac would support the mitzvah. If it wasn't a form of Tekhanat Chacham, then maybe you wouldn't say that. After Kamil Ladina, Ani comes in the middle of Ashrei, whether you have to stop and give him money or not. So whatever the din is, it's clear the Gemara that there's a din of Eisik mitzvah part of mitzvah when it comes to tzedakah. No, it's kasher. Who's got a kasher for me? Eisik mitzvah part of mitzvah by tzedakah. Frekta b'chon l'kasher, it's kasher. If an ani walks past you and he asks for tzedakah, you don't give it to him. What are the ramifications of that doing that? It's a bitl mitzvah derayis at pasach tiptach yalchach. What else is it? It's a double lav in the Torah. If a person asks for tzedakah, you have to give it, unless the person's a faker, you don't have to give it. But if the person is genuine, so then you have to give him money. So for three reasons, you have to give him something. You don't have to give $100. You have to give him up at least a pruta. You have to give pasach tiftach as yalcha. Open your hand a little bit. Lo sikpot as yalcha. Lo sikpot as yalcha. So there are three different mitzvahs. There's one mitzvah, two mitzvahs. They knew what's from Machanah's kasher. Oisim b'mitzvah, the mitzvah is a potter from what? I'm being Isaac mitzvah, I can eat treif. Isaac mitzvah, potter mitzvah. That's a joke. That's all it's on this. Isaac mitzvah, potter mitzvah. There's no din of Isaac mitzvah, potter mitzvah. It's a frekta mochana. And how could you say Isaac mitzvah, potter mitzvah by tzedakah? And what's the answer?
Relying on the assay.
The Los Aseh is not there as an independent entity. The Los Aseh is governed by the rules of the assay. Paskin of Hilchas Aseh, once you determine what the assay dictates to you, in this case the assay dictates you don't have to do it because Eis Mitzvah Patur Mitzvah. Once Hilchas Mitzvah Aseh Paskin is looked toward, the Ramel will also say falls by the wayside. So again, we just give two models in the world of Deraisas, both the Gabi Makeh and the Gabi Tzedakah, just to highlight this idea that it's clear from the Gemara now in the Sugya Brachas that there's an assay and a Los Aseh involved in Brachas and then it is the assay of making a Bracha, the Los Aseh of Asalahanas and Azebli Bracha, but the Los Aseh is emanating from the assay. And if you can somehow pass it up and Uchas says that you're potter, either because the person's anointed or because Safi Brachas Lahakel, so then the male will also say false, by the way. So that was just the Shirayim of the last week. But I say I want to move on now and continue our discussion about Brachas and Nen in general, and almost branching out to other Brachas. We conclude, we pass it, Ruba the Rishon Paskin, that Brachas and Nen is only the Rabbanan, and therefore Safi Brachas Lahakel. What about brachas that are not brachas midrabbanan? What about brachas that are brachas midaraisa? Would we apply the rule of suffering brachas lahakol for them? Most probably not. If we're dealing with the bracha deraisa, then we would have to plug in the rule called suffering deraisa l'chumra. So now it may be hard to find such brachas. There's only one we have for sure, and one is a maybe. One for sure is brachas amazon, and one's a maybe is. Maybe Birchat Torah. Birchat Torah is a tricky one. The Gemara learns it out from a pasuk, but it's not clear whether it's a deraisa or a rabbanan. So let's take Birchat Torah. So a guy ate a meal. Let's say he's saveya, he ate kedei svia, he's stuffed to the gills, and he can't remember that he benched it. What do you do? So what's the din? Feirish. You have to what? You have to bench. Saveya deraisa l'chumra. Not a question whatsoever. Saveya deraisa l'chumra. Where's the problem with that? So you do him a first with that halacha. What is the problem with that, based on everything we've been talking about? How can you go ahead and make a bracha, safek deraisa l'chumra misafek? What area of halacha are you treading on? Every time you make a bracha that you don't have to make, that's a what? It's a bracha levatala. You're in violation of bracha levatala. So now, when the person comes and asks the Shal Rabbi, I ate a full meal, I can't remember whether I veg, that's such a simple answer anymore. On the one hand, the Rabbi says, but the other hand, wait a second, if I tell this fellow to make a bracha to bench, it could be Igloy Milson that he really did already bench, and now I'm going to tantamount to making four brachas of Atala. Let's think this through. Okay? So again, everyone agrees that it did, everyone knows. Up until now, last week's year, we were talking about brachas and men and on amid the rabbanim. So therefore, suffering brachas and lachal. That was the tesis we saw in the first part. But the implication is obvious, and that's the din shulchan aruch. If it would be deraisa, any and every bracha that's deraisa, then suffering brachas goes to the chumrah. So the example we'll give is brachas and mazal. That's the easy one. Brachas and tar, maybe controversial one. Any and every time you have a suffering bracha, that's a key of deraisa to recite. So you have to recite it even in a situation of suffering. So I'm asking a question: what right do you have to pick the bracha? It's a suffering violation of bracha matam.
Maybe it works the opposite way when the bracha. There's no bracha l'atala when your halacha is requiring you to make.
Okay. We're gonna try to work this out a little bit. So Noam comes and said to me, "I don't want to put words into your mouth. So tell me again how you formulated it. It's a nuance of formulation. Unless you weren't paying so much attention to what you said.
It's not a
vade bracha l'atala. It's a suffering bracha l'atala. Wait, that's one instead of four. No, Noam starts off by saying, it's not a bad day, brachas, that's a suffering brachas. I'm going to respond to say, since when do you have a right to violate suffering? Yisurim. Now, what's your line? Okay. So let's try to see how to respond to that. So yeah, let's drink through the question. We have two considerations. On the one hand, we want to clear the air. We want to be Yitzhak and Muslim. On the other hand, we're very nervous, rightfully so, about brachas l'atal. So, at first, I thought Noam was saying, I don't care about bracha l'matala. You know why I don't care about bracha l'matala? It's only a suffering bracha l'matala anyway. And what I thought you were saying, maybe you're saying, is, well, maybe the issur of reciting a bracha l'matala is only a what? It's only a sederabanan. And the issur of reciting a bracha l'matala is only a sederabanan. I didn't say it is, but if it's only a sederabanan, so then I understand the halacha very well. So I have a suffering deraisa, let's point in the direction you better bench. I have a suffix violation of bracha matal, saying, hands off, don't make brachas. So I turn around and say, it's only a suffix abanan. Suffix abanan is lakula. So I could be makil on the issa de rabbanan, a bracha levatala, because that, the only way to, normally I wouldn't just not violate suffix abanan, just like that, but here it's for the purpose of fulfilling a suffix de raisa, so it makes a lot of sense. So, lakhora, I don't know what that's what you meant to say, but if that was what you meant to say, l'chor, that would be a good beer. That would be a potential beer. Good, give you credit. That would be a potential good beer as to why the halacha is the way it is. So, if you take a look, one of the member comes and sent over the phone. I think about a Tosafot in Rosh Hashanah. There's a long, long Tosafot. We're not going to do all of it. We're not going to do part of it. We're going to do one half a line there. So, Tosfos on Lamed Gimel Min Aleph in Rosh Hashanah. I don't know how it showed up as a regular picture. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So, if you look at the wide lines in the Tosfos, it's the second of the wide lines. So, the Tosfos is addressing a different issue as to a certain situation of reciting a bracha that maybe wasn't necessary to recite. So Tosa says, "Umishum the mevarich bracha shen etzricha v'ka'avim mishabal tisa." Tosa is referencing Gemara that says that if you recite a bracha matala, take losisa shem l'shem l'karach l'shem. It sounds like a deraisa. Sounds like the aseres adibras. Tosa says, "Nah." Tosa says, "Don't bother with it. Don't worry, man. You know why? Leika dahi derasha derabanan." Says Tosa, "Nah. That derasha, that reciting a bracha matala is a." Is an issa deraisa? That's not really true. We never really meant it. It was not smach to be alma. It's only derabanan. We can breathe a sigh from this. So if Tosfos is right that the recitation of brachas l'matalos is only the derabanan, and then we're not so bad. So then I understand why the din is if I have a mitzvah, if I have a bracha like pichas hanen and a bracha on an apple, which is only a mitzvah derabanan anyway. So then I don't make the bracha. It doesn't make any sense to make the bracha. It's only a suffix derabanan l'kula. Don't make the bracha. And memela. There's nothing else to talk about. Just eat the apple, enjoy the apple. If it's a shalav benching, which is a bracha deraisa, then I'm being forced by something deraisa l'chumah to make the bracha, and I'm not worried about the concern, the cheshash of bracha levatala, because bracha levatala itself is on the midrabban, so the cheshbon works out beautifully according to Tosfos. But if you keep your phones open for a minute, if you take a look at the one of the next Maamar Kamos, and Ramban in Hilchos Shavuos, so the Ramban in Perek Yud Beis Lachetes. Okay, we got it to the bottom of the page in Perek Yud Beis Lachetes. So the Ramban writes, "Shomei Haskar Hashem if Yichaver L'Shav." If you hear somebody saying Hashem's name for no reason, Osha Nishpal Lefanav L'Shekhar, or you hear somebody swearing falsely, Osha Birach Bracha Shena Tzricha, or a person who started a bracha that wasn't necessary, Shehu Ovim Mishum Nosei Shem Hashem L'Shav. Such a person who you're hearing doing those things is in violation of the Aseres HaDibros. He's supposed to put the person in Techeir. We don't usually do that. If you put everyone in Techeir, there'll be no one left. Everyone will be Techeir together. There'll be nobody out of Techeir. So we generally don't do this. But in theory, if you hear a person violating L'sisa in a sense, so you should put him in Techeir. And what are the different examples of violating L'sisa? So Ram gives you three cases. A person who says Hashem's name, Stam L'Shav, is a terrible lisser. A person who mamish swears falsely is a terrible lisser. And a person who makes a brach shen tzricha is a terrible lisser. And the Rambam lumps them all together. No say Shem Hashem L'Shav. So the Pasha, among the Rambam, later post can say the Pasha and the Rambam is that's Nisa Deraisa. So if Nisa Deraisa, now we're in trouble. So we're dealing with the brach of Atolah being Nisa Deraisa, now we're mamish in trouble. Why? Because here I have my meal. I just ate my meal. I'm full to the gills. And I can't remember. I got distracted. Did I bench or not? So everyone's telling you, bench again, bench again, bench. Wait a second. What do you bench again? So now you have two Isurim Deraisa. You have two Dinim Deraisa falling at you. On the one end, you have a Sofek Deraisa at a bench. So that would indicate that you should bench. On the other end, you have a Sofek Isra of Losisa Shabbat Kachal Shabbat. A difference. That would say, don't bench. So why does the Lacha say to bench?
You apply asay
that would be a really, really tricky one. So the Tosfos shows you that it's very hard to apply that principle. That principle, suffik esay bidochal suffik losa, is not so pushing. Not so much the sugi about that debate today. The person shechs a koi and yontem, a complicated sugi. Not so simple. That's probably, we don't probably want to go down that route. So here we have a child. Here we have a problem. I have a suffik. Vying for a suffix against a suffix bracha levatala, which according to Rambam is an issur deraisa. Why does the halacha tilt in the direction to recite the bracha? Why?
The Rebbe said there are two suffixes, right?
Well, no, it's one suffix. The suffix is, I don't remember what I mentioned that. I ate a big meal, I'm stuffed to the gills, and then I got distracted. I got a phone call, I have no idea that I mentioned that. So Hilchas Safek Birchsa Mazon is telling me I better bench. Hilchas Safek Aseres HaDibros is telling me not to bench. Why is the din that you do bench? Halach is that you do bench. Why is that?
I think what he was saying is the inverse of everything else. We've been saying you have Losa Seis and Aseis. I think here it seems to be, it's basically you have a Losa Sei, which I think it's like the inverse, or
I know what you want to say. I'm going to say it for you. Tell me this is what the two of you meant to say. When the halacha requires of you to recite the bracha, it's not a bracha levatala. Is that what you meant?
Yeah,
good, good, good. Okay, the bracha should keep out of. We also the same you said. Okay, good. Okay.
I don't know why, but
okay. So we're going to try to touch this up a little bit. So this is a challenge. This is not my challenge, but the first person to raise this problem, the chayyotim already we dealt with this problem. All the other gedalia place already dealt with this problem. The chayyotzapel, how could it didn't meet the bench? Seems to fly in the face of some of the rules of spakers that we're developing over here. So the Chayyadim develops the following yisoid. It's close to some of the things we just said. Chayyadim says, what's the yisoid deraisa of bracha levatala? Quint around. Tosfos would say, we're done for tonight. I'm 30 times to go to sleep. Tosfos says, we're done. We don't have to hear this part of the shiur. But according to the Rambam, that there's an yisoid deraisa of losisa, to make a bracha levatala. What exactly, what image of losisa is conjured up for that statement of the Rambam? But what do you think? Who do you think the Rambam is describing as making bracha levatala?
Someone who's specifically doing it for that purpose.
So Josh is saying, you know, look at the model of losisa. The guy's coming to Beis Din. The guy puts his hand on a Sefer Torah. He swears, mamish lying through his teeth. That's a bizyain. What a bizyain of Shem Hashem. You have to think about why is Losisa such an Issa Chumbi? The only Issa that does is Ki Lo Yinaki Hashem. Hashem never fully forgives Losisa. It's such a bizyain of the Rebbeinu Shlom's name. So says the Chayyadim, the Issa of the Araisa of Losisa is the guy who's making a like son of Sadduch's brachas. Guy picks up an apple and he says, okay, here we go. Yay, how much you like Menorahs? Ha ha, what a big joke. What a big bizarre. That's a brachla batal. Sach Losisa. Nebuch, the guy, he ate his meal. He sang his mirrors. He saw orangutan in his mirrors. He forgot, did he bench? Did he not bench? And now, oh yeah, he's got a suffix and he spends an hour learning the sugi of suffix brachas and the mishnebura and the rambam. And finally comes to the conclusion, oh yo yo, hilchas fake deraisa is pointing in the direction, I better make the bracha. When he comes, the ask him Shon, and they ask him, Reb Yid, you had benched already now before you started your zmiris. He said, why'd you bench a second time? That's a violation of Losisa. Come on, that's what they get home, Shemai. That's Losisa. Says, that's Losisa deraisa, come on. Zach the Chayodim, the Issa Brach Lamatala deraisa is only when it's done with a certain tzur, it's done derech bizayim. But if it's done derech kavod, that's not an Issa B'chlau. And therefore, we are going to quote unquote forgo the Losisa, because it's not really a violation of Losisa anyway. That's the Chayodim's beer. So perhaps we can come up with an alternative here. Perhaps we can come up with another idea.
Rama says, Shabiri, right? The
Rama says,
right? Shibra,
Rav Shan, Tzricha.
Here. You don't know.
Oh, right? Yeah, so that's going back to a little bit of throwback we said before. It's called, it's not called the Vatala. It's not called the Tzricha.
Right,
it's not called it's Tzricha. It's very Tzricha. It's Tzricha because they have a Savi Derais. Right. Right, maybe.
If that's the case that it's not Nisker at all, then why do we suppose we're Rav Shan?
No, I would say that it's like this. It's not Nisa D'Araisa when it's done Derech Kavod. It still shouldn't be done. Even if I do it not Derech Kavod, even if I do it not Derech Bizayin, it's still awesome with the Rabbanan. I'm not supposed to somebody making brachas just like that. So otherwise, we would say every Sabbath Rabbanan, we'd also tell you to make the brachas. There's no Losisa.
Right, that's the thing.
Right. No, so I'm saying, I think you're right. If there's no Losisa D'Araisa, that's what I'm saying, but it's still Issa D'Rabbanan of brachas and brachas at all. So everybody said, maybe we can come up with the aside to explain this phenomenon of brachas. That maybe could touch upon something much greater, much bigger than just Hilchos Brachos itself. Very often when you learn sugyas with the Rabbanan Tikkun sugyas, like Ketzel Mevarchos primarily at the Rabbanan Tikkun Perek, so the underlying principles are very much derais. And we're going to hopefully see this as we go on. Many of the Yesodos in Hilchos Brachos are patterned after Atzilah Moshe. We talk about some of the dinim later on, about what's considered to be bread, the bracha of Amotzi. All the rules of Amotzi are the Rabbanan, but they're all patterned after what's called bread for the purpose of a freshes challah, what's called bread for the purpose of Echilas Matzah. All itself, we're going to learn about Birchas HaPeiros. So all the details of the Birchas HaPeiros are the Rabbanan, but what's called the Pri? How do you know what's called the Pri? You have to look to Chas Orli, you have to look to Chas Shmita, you have to look to Chas Shumas and Maestras to determine what's called the Pri. Kohena v'Kohena. So the details of Chas Brachas may be the Rabbanan, but the underlying principles are always their Isis. So this idea that we find, this phenomenon that we find in Chas Brachas, that you do make a bracha, be suffic, if it's a suffic their eyes, so even though we have bracha levatala staring in our face, maybe this touches on something which is much deeper, much more general called Terakula than just the details of those portions. So let's take a look at the Rambam and the Rambam Koma. Some of you may wonder why the one put this Rambam on. It's a Rambam Hilchos Tumas Meis. It's a Rambam Perek Tes Halacha Yud Beis in Hilchos Tumas Meis. The Rambam is just giving you an example of different scenarios of suffix, different sveikas. You're not sure, is there a mace? They're not the mace. Were you a mile on the mace? Were you under the same mile? Not on the same mile? The Rambam says that many of the cases that I just delineated, we declare the person as Tamei, but at the end of the day, they were all b'teres suffik. Says the Rambam, summing up the end of this halacha, Perek Tes Halacha Yud Beis, Dover Yadua, it is known, I don't want to take issue with the Rambam, but the Rashba didn't know it, and the Rambam didn't know it, but the Rambam says, Dover Yadua, it's a Dover Pashad Ad Ma'ayit, everybody knows. Shekol Eilu HaTumos, all of the above Tumos that I just mentioned, V'chayetzivet, and other similar ones that perhaps weren't mentioned yet, Shehein Mishum Sofek, that the root of all these Tumos are because we're not sure maybe it's Tumos, Erein Shal Divrayen, all of these Tumos are only Midrabanan. V'ein Tumim in HaTorah, Alamisha Nidma Tumah Vadois. He said, the only time there's a Tumah D'Araisa is if with absolute certain lishum safik the person's stomach, that's tuma deraisa. About koas fakis. Now, once the Rambam just said that statement that all fakis and tumas are always lahakil, then he says, by the way, this has nothing to do with tumas. About koas fakis, all bats, bein betumas, bein b'machos asuros. All of a sudden, we're talking about kashrus. I have a piece of meat, and I don't know whether it's chazer or not. So everybody knows you can't eat that. Safi deraisa lachumra. Says the Rambam, guess what? That which you're not allowed to eat, the safi chazer itself is only a what?
Tori
nisa derabon. And the Rambam goes on. Maybe a rice, and this cloud that I'm saying applies to gilir rice also. There's a situation where it's a suffix, where the woman's in erva. The Rambam seems to say, "Min haTorah mutter." V'shabosos, you have a suffix of Shabbos, a suffix about a malacha. The Rambam is taking our entire principle of suffix derice and lachumra, literally throwing it away, throwing it out the window. Suffix derice, the Rambam knows there's a little suffix derice and lachumra. The Mishnah says, the Gemara says, the Rambam quotes it 100 times. The Rambam says, any and every time that principle appears in halacha, safi deraisa l'chumra, that itself is only a chumra midderabbanan. Midderaisa, there's no such thing. In chayshin lan, elamid divay seifim k'mosh b'yayin b'chus yisur, b'yayin b'kam ha'kaymas. That's what the Rambam says. Now, we're going to read the next 3 lines in the Rambam. It's not critical for us, only because I want to hear your response to this next 3 lines in the Rambam. Says the Rambam, even though what I just said is true, that all sveikis, and remember what were the different categories the Rambam delineated, started out with tumas, he moved to achos asuras, he continued to arayas, and concluded with shabosas. So we had from tumba to kashras to arayas to chashabas. Those are the 4 examples of halacha the Rambam chose. The Rambam says, even though what I just told you is true, I'm now going to tell you the following. If it's a shaila of kares, then tzveka wasa min haTorah. Then we would never say safik deraisa lekula min haTorah. And the Rambam says, what's the proof? Shireya oso chay basham toloi. It's possible chomesh. The Torah says that if you eat a piece of meat and you're not sure whether it was chaylev, whether it was shuman, if it was forbidden fat, then you have kares for it. If it's not, then it's okay. So the Rambam, the Torah says, if you eat it and you're not sure which piece you ate, you bring a korban hashem toloi. Says the Rambam, how could there be Hashem told you? What you did was mutter min haTorah. If you would have asked by Shemayin, could he eat the meat? He would have said yes. If you don't know, that's absurd. It's ludicrous to bring a carbon for that. So therefore, the Rambam says, even I, who are the biggest believer that all sfeikas of there are lekula min haTorah, the buck stops here when it comes to Yisur Karis, because we are b'chashkagis. Again, this part of the Rambam is not relevant for Hilchos Brachos, but I can't hold back. I read this Rambam, I can't hold back. Who has a really, really serious problem reading this Rambam?
All the examples he gave.
2 out of the 4 examples were Yisur HaKaris, Arise and Shabbos. It's pillow blind, this Rambam. It's a steer from one line to the next. The Rambam starts that, gives you 4 examples, 2 out of the 4 are Karis. The Rambam says, by the way, I never said it by Karis. So let me just read the, and I don't know whether it showed up on yours, the Shinurin Nischos, and I'm not sure how much of the page showed up. I may have used the old Rambam from my office. It could be it's not even on the altogether. I'll read you on the side of the Franco Rambam, the Shinurin Nischos, different gears of the Rambam. Bishar Kisbayad Chosra Kol HaPiska. This entire 3 lines are missing. I am Bishut Maharit, Shizu Hagos Talmud. Some Talmud threw that line in. Vidachua, and others said the line is wrong. It doesn't exist. Midakos of Rabbeinu Bein Beirais V'Shabbos V'Divrisa Bein Shom. V'chein Dachu Hagozu, V'chein Mivolozhin, V'Shut Chuta B'Shulosh. Gedolei Poskim said that this line, mamish, these 2 lines don't exist. Mamish, a mistake.
How do you
say it's the Gemara? Oh, so now you have to answer the kasha of the Sukkah
Vayikra. You
gotta get rid of the first one. Yeah. You have a choice. If you're real brisk, Ramam. The answer. Probably the more correct answer that Zubim Vayikra is probably not what it says in this Gersa Rambam. But the more correct answer is very simple. The Gemara quotes an opinion which the Rav has a basket like. But Medvamun, when you bring an Asham Tolli, I give you two cases of Sveikis. Let me describe to you two different cases of Sveikis. One is I have one piece of meat in front of me, and I have no clue what it is. It's a 50% chance. It's Chalef, it's Shuman, I can't tell the difference. And by mistake, I ate it. That's one case. Case number two, I have two pieces of meat on the table. I know for a fact one is Shuman, I know for a fact one is Chalef. I have no idea how to tell one from another, and by mistake, I ate one of them. I have no idea which one I ate. I can't tell. No idea. Statistically, it's a 50-50 chance no matter what. Halachically, they're radically different from one another. Why is that? In the first case, it's what's called lo ikvay sura. You don't even know there's a davar asur here in the first place. In the second case, you know there's a davar asur, you're just not sure whether you consume the davar asur. Statistically, it's irrelevant. Halachically, it makes all the difference in the world. Say the Gedolei Acharonim, that's the answer to the dilemma. The Rambam holds that ali yisurim in the Torah. Lavim, korei, sarai, shabasas, lachal surah, ali yisurim. It's all the dinim in the Torah. Sveikis are always lakula. Minat Torah. But if the type of the sophic is what's called the Nikvay Surah, that I know there's another Asur on the table, that's a whole different goal. It's a different type of the sophic. And that's the parasha of Asham Tolli. And the Ram's not even talking about that. Of course the Ram concedes for that. That's the pashtus in the Shittas HaRam. So the Ram never even bothered asking the question because he was assuming that you learned when he wrote in Chashkavah. So Chashkavah, he tells you this difference. He says it from Molei, that you only be a Korban Asham Tolli when it's Ikvay Surah. Because you could figure out on your own. If it's Ikvay Surah, that's a different kind of a suffering. But again, this is not the brachas part. This is because I read that Rambam. I just want to hear what everyone else's reaction is. Getting back to this brachas for a second. So the Rambam sheet is that all sveikis min haTorah don't really exist. With a possible exception. Not the Kuris, but another possible exception. That's startling. When the day is going to be startling, see if we can understand it. The Chavis Das, Baal HaSivas, the Sivas of the Chavis Das in Yerodea, Chavis Das is a Chiddush Gavul. Chavis Das says, the Medav HaMemurim, Sveikin the Raises on the Kulam in HaTorah, that's only by Los Aseis. But by Aseis, Safik the Raises on the Chumra, Mid the Raises. So if you have a Safik, whether you're Tefillin or Kosher or not, you can't wear those Tefillin with the Raises, you have to get another pair. You have a suffix whether your lulav is kosher, you can't use it. Suffix whether your shofar is good, you get another shofar. You can't hide behind suffix the rice, even on the love of the rice, by mitzvah sesei. It's a straight Torah for the Chavis Das. The Chavis Ben Africh, why? What's more serious? Losa says it's much more of a violation of Aseis. Losa says it's much more chomer lach than Aseis. So if Madach Losa says, even Kari's the Pashto, according to the Ramah, Sveikas al Makula, so well, Aseis are worse than Kari's. What's the longness? You've got a longness for me. Let's try this Chavis Das. Why should it be mamish counterintuitive? Why is Sveikis mutter min haTorah according to the Rambam? How do we understand and conceptualize that idea? Sveikis are mutter min haTorah. There's no suffix like Shemaya. Means in the Kadosh Baruch Hu's realm, there's no sense of suffix. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows everything. So when the Kadosh Baruch Hu wrote into the Chumash, don't eat chazir. Translate me, give me the Halachapedia definition of chazir. Chazir means a 100% certain pig. That's a chazir. If it's a 50% chance, well, it's a pig, that's not the chazir of the Torah. The Rosh Hashanah doesn't talk in riddles, the Rosh Hashanah doesn't talk in tzvekis. When the Rosh Hashanah utters a word, that word conjures up the imagery of adults to it. And therefore, when the Torah says, don't do malacha on Shabbos, that means if it's a real 100% certain malacha, don't do it. If you're not sure, it's a 50-50, so then in the Torah, you're allowed to do it. How does that help? When the Rosh Hashanah said, put on tefillin, he's telling you put on what kind of tefillin? Vada, 100% vada kosher tefillin. If you put on 50% kosher tefillin, maybe doesn't have the tefillin. I'm more mature. If you shake a lulav, that may not be kosher. That's not a lulav. I'm more mature. You blow a shofar, it's not 100% kosher. It's not a shofar. Kosher mature. So it comes out mamish opposite, but it makes a lot of sense. Sometimes things that are backwards make sense. This is the Chavis Das's big breakthrough. No, how's this going to help us? How's Chavis Das going to help this dilemma on the Rambam? I'm standing in front of the Rav and I'm asking a fellow shah, the rabbi, I have no idea whether I benched or not. So the rabbi's weighing the possibilities. On the one hand, v'chal b'savat v'rachta, you mechuv to bench, benching is derais, with derais to chum. On the other hand, you have a losisa, v'chal v'tala gevalt, kishrigin. So we're opting in the direction bench and forget about losisa. How can you do that? So according to Tosfos, because losisa is under a button anyway, b'chal v'tala is under a button. According to Chayyadam, Brachel of Atolam, it's not Derech Bizoin, it's only Derabonim. What are we saying now based on this Chavaz Das?
Safek benching doesn't count. There has to be definite benching and Safek.
Brachel of Atolam, who cares? Yeah. Right? When the Torah says, V'chaltav is about Erechta, the only way I can come to the Kisya Kovar and say, Asisi Kechoshet Tzivisoni, I have to be able to say at the end of the meal, I benched Bevados. If I don't know whether I benched Bevados, then I didn't bench. But I didn't fulfill the Sevu V'Erechta. So it's like a suffix on the Yesser. I have a suffix on my Yesser's kosh, I have to take another Yesser. If I have a suffix whether I did a Verachta, I have to do another Verachta. And you can't turn around and say, wait a second, how dare you bench me suffix? You're in violation of Losisa. No, I'm not. Losisa is only violated when? When it's a Vade Losisa. If I know for a fact it's a Shem Hashem Levatola, it does, it's Losisa. But whenever I have a suffix, suffix works to help me to get out of Yisurim, but something doesn't help me to fulfill mitzvahs.
If you have a suffix, Sovea, would we say the same thing? Because they're not 100% sure that you're...
That's a different... There, it's a, not a suffix when I'm Yaitzid, it's a suffix when I have this Chayim in the first place. So you're right, that's a different word. Right? Let's say it's a suffix whether it's Rosh Hashanah or not. So I'm not sure whether I became this Chayim in the mitzvah. Would the Tzivah say something to Reis L'chum? I'm not sure.
It gets back to the two types of sfeikos that you said beforehand.
Well, neither of these sfeikos are equally serious.
No, but in terms of, right, if you have the one piece of meat, so you have a suffix whether or not there's anything that's going to happen. That's what, according to Chavadas, is the law. You may or may not be over. But if you had two pieces of meat, that you know you had at some point...
Right, that would for sure be the rest, but you don't have that here.
No, but you know you have... You know at some point... The only thing when you have this case of whether or not you meet the bench... That at some point you had a chiyuv d'oraisa.
No, that's true. But right now, when I'm asking the shaila, I wonder, am I in violation of a losisa or not? So the answer is, I don't know. Maybe I did bench, but I didn't bench. If I benched, then it'll be losisa. If I didn't bench, then it's not losisa. So this is chetich achas. It's not big chetichas.
But he's saying on the asay side.
On the asay side. You knew that at some point, within the last hour, you had an obligation to fulfill. And the only way that you'll know whether or not you actually fulfilled the obligation is by benching
again.
Right. So the fact that at one point you had that knowledge that there was a mechuyev on you.
Oh, see, what I mean, is that almost like equally? I'm not sure you need it. I hear what you're saying. I hear the direction you're coming from. Like, suffing mitzvah is almost closer to the malad equally a little bit. Maybe interesting. Maybe.
But cases of the assay, though, if there's a suffix, would one say a bracha again, though? So, with lulav, right? If one had a suffix, whether it's lulav...
Yeah, but you don't have to make a bracha, because birchas amitzis don't have a rabbanon. So you have to shake a lulav again, but you don't make a bracha again.
Right, so... But
benching is the rice. You see, lulav is a tricky one. The mitzvah lulav is the rice, but the
right,
bracha
so, no, I'm saying all the assays, right, that we just mentioned, right... They're all tricky because, right, you would not make the bracha, right?
No,
I know the benching's the act.
Right.
So you would...
So by all other mitzvahs, you could split. I'll do the ma'isa mitzvah yourself. You don't have to lose, but the bracha, I can't do. There's one opinion of Rishon that says that whenever you have to repeat a mitzvah, the ra'isa yourself, like you make the bracha also. You know why? It's a shirk in Rishon. Since you're mechuyah v'tzivan, to recite the bracha, the mitzvah, you can make a bracha, but we don't pass it. So again, so what we try to explore... Over between last week's year and this week's year, really almost in a sense, the introduction to Ketzim of Archon, to try to understand this phenomena of brachas, the brachas deraisa, brachas derabanan, what the ramifications are, how it plays out, particularly in the realm of sveikis. And again, there's a fundamental split here between brachas ananin before food, which are fundamentally derabanan, according to most opinions, and therefore, just plain and simple, suffix brachas lachom kicks in, with all the lumdus of why that's true, because the asilahanos, as it emanates from the brach, etc. And then when it comes to brachas that would be deraisa, such as the birchas hamazon, maybe birchas haTorah, so then the rules change. And why the rules change, what happened to bracha levatola, so those are the two different issues that we face. I want to just end up with one possible nakuda to put almost a new spin on uchas brachas in general, particularly brachas we've shown us. You know, our netiyah has been that birchas hanen is only mid-rabbanan. And the svar of Asa Lahanos is not so compelling in love of their rights. So putting aside the Bnei Shua, maybe one day, but overwhelming majority of everybody else held that the brachas are basically only b'dirah. Is there any way for us to create a model that reciting brachas is a deraisa, but you're not mechuyev with a deraisa to recite? I don't believe that Asa Lahanos is a real mechayev deraisa. At the end of the day, it's only a svar b'dirah according to both opinions. But putting all that aside, even without Asa Lahanos, every and every time you open up your mouth and recite a bracha, could we create what we call not a mitzvah chiyuvus b'deraisa, but also a mitzvah kiyumus b'deraisa? There is a difference between some mitzvahs one is obligated to do, the other mitzvahs one is not obligated to do, it's just if you do it, it registers as a mitzvah. I once gave a shiur somewhere where I was talking about whether the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah chiyuvus or a mitzvah kiyumus. I think machlokes is supposed to be a Ramban. So somebody raised their hand and they said, they never heard of this principle called mitzvah chiyuvus and kiyumus, and they said, you made up this principle, it doesn't exist anywhere. You know, I was a little taken aback, so I didn't want to answer disrespectfully, but I didn't make it up. Rebashal made up the principle. Of course there's a principle of kiyuvus. Whether you think that living in Eretz Yisrael falls into one category or another is up for discussion, but the concept of mitzvah kiyuvus and mitzvah chiyuvus, of course that exists. It's ABCs, of course that exists. So could one argue that Birchas Inen is not a mitzvah chiyuvus? I don't believe it's a mitzvah chiyuvus. But a mitzvah chiyuvus could possibly be? And if so, what mitzvah chiyuvus could it possibly fall under? Ideas?
Okay.
That'll be on Friday night, maybe. No matter on Tuesday. How to eat an apple. Make a burpee eighth on Tuesday night.
Recognition of our brothers?
It's close to that. That's almost a prerequisite for it. So it's the opening round of Menuchos Tefillah. And the Rambam tells us, suppose we have said twice a day, La'avdu b'chol avavchem, we have to be Eved Hashem b'chol leiv. What does that mean? Usually Eved Hashem means Avedas HaKavonos. Usually that means be a dayan, it's not a leiv. What's the Avedas Hashem should be leiv? La'avdu b'chol avavchem, the famous commandment says, Tainas Habeis, Eved Hashem should be leiv, Eved Hashem should be leiv. That's the mitzvah of the Chalavachim to daven to a Kodesh Baruch. What does davening to a Kodesh Baruch mean? So the Rambam says there are three parts of davening. The definition of davening is three parts. There's shavach, there's praising the Rosh Hashanah. There's bakosha, there's asking him requests. And hodoya, and thanking him. And the Rambam says that's called tefillah deraisa. All of that tefillah is a pattern of Kodesh Baruch. Actually has those three components to it. So it's not 100% clear for the Rambam. Does the Rambam mean that on a level of deraisa, tefillah must be made up of all three components? Or is on the level of their Isa, even one of those components is good enough, Minatorah. So there are some Rishonim, the Sefer Chinuch says one is good enough, Minatorah, and the Magen Avraham seems to assume the way, but it's not 100% clear in the Rambam. But let's assume for a minute that on the level of their Isa, the basic Tzuras HaMitzvah is speaking to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Then the Rambam goes on to say that the details, how often you daven 3 times a day, you daven a minyan, you daven, and there's no sukkah, you daven, all the details of Echus Tefillah, those are all with the Rabbanan. But the Tzura, their Isa Tefillah is to be Ivan Hashem Balev, that means to speak to Rabban Shalom. Why is it called belayv? It's to speak to Kodesh Baruch Hu. So some of that's highlighting the fact that if you speak without feeling it, without having anything in mind, it daven v'li kavana, so that's dvar b'teilu. It means most mitzvah shebedibur, let's say if a person recites a mitzvah shebedibur but is not concentrating on what he's doing, so he still fulfilled the mitzvah. In the first part of Kriya Shema maybe is different. But tefillah, Chaim writes that when it comes to tefillah, so the very essence of the mitzvah is avodah shebelayv. It's an avodah shebelayv that you're supposed to express with your mouth. You're not supposed to just daven in your heart. It's supposed to be expressed ultimately through the words, but it's fundamentally a mitzvah shebelev. So the mitzvah shebelev is a dialogue with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's the mitzvah deraisa. It doesn't matter what you're telling Kodesh Baruch Hu, you're thanking him, asking him, praising him. As long as you're talking to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's the mitzvah deraisa. And how often do you have to do that? Once a day, every day. So the Ramban, famous Ramban, say for mitzvah takes issue with that Rambam, the Ramban writes, you do not have to daven min haTorah. Unless it's an Eitz Tzara, that's a different parasha for you. That's also a whole other story, the Ramban says. But the daily obligation of tefillah is only midrabban. It doesn't exist in the Torah. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach writes, now, when the Ramban argues in the Rambam, and he says that tefillah is only midrabban, what the Ramban meant was the chiv of tefillah is only midrabban. Does that mean the concept of tefillah didn't exist until the days of Bayesheni, until the Anshe Knesset HaGedolah? Says the Ramban, says Rav Shlomo Zalman. Everyone's davening. You open up Sefer Bereishis, everyone's talking to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Avram, wherever he's going, Mikvah Shem, Avram Shem, Hashem. Avram's davening, Yitzchak's davening, Yaakov's davening, Moshe Rabbeinu's davening, everybody's davening before the Anshei Kedusha Gedolah goes in. Davening Melech, we're a whole Sefer Tehillim, there's no Anshei Kedusha Gedolah. Why is everybody talking? Tefillin Yonah Kiyadnef, why is everyone talking about the Kedusha Baruch Hu? Nobody davened before they woke up in Vayesheni, the Yitzchak of Shemoneh Esrei. So Shlomo Zalman says, Lo Yitachein, davar kaze. Says for Shlomo Zalman, the machlokes, the Rambam, the Ramban is tefillah a mitzvah that's mutal on the gavra b'kol yom v'yom? Like Kriya Shema, like tefillin. There are certain mitzvahs that you have to do every single day. Is that tefillah? Tefillah, the model of tefillah, the Raisa is once a day, a bit like the Rambam? Or is the model of tefillah, according to the Ramban, is if and when you speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's beautiful and wonderful, that's a good thing, it's a mitzvah kiyumis. And any and every time you relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, love the B'chol Levavchum, that's love the B'chol Levavchum. The Rambam learned to love the B'chol Levavchum, it's mechayiv, it's a daily mechayiv like Kriya Shema and tefillin. And the Ramban learned that's all the mitzvah rabbanim. The rice of the mitzvah is a chiyuv yeis tzara, and it's a rishus, it's a kiyuma mitzvah v'chol zman v'zman. Any and every word you say, any and every conversation you have with the Kodesh Baruch Hu is a mitzvah kiyum. It could be that Rav Shlomo Zalman's yisoid is true even according to the Rambam. The Rambam holds midaraisa you mechuyuv to have a conversation with Kodesh Baruch Hu every day. Midaraisa, a very short conversation, a little bit shevach, a little bit kosh, but a little very small conversation. But the more the merrier. Any and every time you converse with a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's what the Rosh Hashanah wants. That's Tefillah Shabbat. That's a Mishnah Leib. Love B'chol Levavchem. It's not in Kriya Shema for nothing. Love B'chol Levavchem. It's a major Yisoid in Yadus. To be Oved Hashem. To be Oved Hashem B'Leib means to talk to the Rosh Hashanah. So any and every opportunity you have to talk to a Kodesh Baruch Hu is a mitzvah d'oraisa. Love B'chol Levavchem. It's a Torah's kiyum, even according to the Rambam. Even if you davened already this morning. What does it mean to talk to a Kodesh Baruch Hu? So the Rambam says, Shevach B'kosh Shevach Doyim. It's quite possible, any of the above. Any one of the three is good enough. So listen to this. When a guy gets up and he says, Baruch Atah Hashem Levachem, Beirei Priya Eitz, he just spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He just, quote unquote, davened with the Raisa. He just did a Maisa Tefillah with the Raisa. He was Eved Hashem with the Raisa. If that's true, what we're saying, that Huchas Brachos, as Chiyuvim is with the Rabbah, means the fact that if you ate this apple, you got to make this Brachos with this Nusach and that. That's all mitzvah rabbanim. But the idea of speaking to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, through Shabbat Kodesh Baruch Hu, is a vada mitzvah d'oraisa. Not because of the svar of Asal Yalam Haras Malam Zablum. That maybe is Kenzan only svar mitzvah rabbanim. It's elevated to a kiyum d'oraisa because it's a chelik from Avodas Hashem Shebaleiv. It's no worse, no different than the other tefillah. That's a kiyum d'oraisa. Bein l'ram, bein l'ram. So we have really, almost in a sense, I guess the shepsicha, the akdoma, the ketz mevorchen. What's that take? What's that outlook on Uchlis Brachas? Do we take that attitude that Uchlis Brachas, that's a Derabbanan through and through, and that's it and finish, everything is Derabbanan, and how come we call it? There's no Deraisa. No. There's very, very much a world with Deraisa that's playing out here. The details of Derabbanan, but according to some, the Svar of Asalahanos may be Deraisa. Even those who reject that Svar of Deraisa, the fact that there's a mitzvah kiyumis to speak and praise Uchlis Brachas in every shape and form, that may very well be Deraisa. So when you paskin of his bracha shailas, you have to paskin, is it really the rice, is it really the rabbanan? So when you deal with the fakers, you have to look at it objectively through the eyes of, is it a chi of the rice or a chi of the rabbanan? If it's a chi of the rice, then svek the rice l'chumra, with all the lumps, why that so? If it's a chi of the rabbanan, then svek the rabbanan l'kul, with all the lumps. So either way you look at his bracha, whether it's the rice or the rabbanan, you have to analyze how that plays out in terms of his fakers. But that's when you're being done on the chiyuv of Uchus Brachas. You're being done on the kiyuv of Uchus Brachas. It's a different ballgame altogether. So a vada, the more the merrier, a vada, the more brachas you make. A vada, the greater shevach that you have to Chodesh Baruch Hu, that's a great and a wonderful thing. So again, we haven't said anything about what brachas you make on any given food. We haven't even begun to scratch anywhere near the surface of the Gates of Mevorchen. But I think it's the appropriate hakdama just to put into the right spirits, whether we're dealing with the rices there. But hopefully that's shown next week. So the next sugya that we're going to talk about is actually not even Hilchos Brachos sugya. It's a Maseches Brachos sugya. It's on the page. It's a sugya that appears here in the Gemara and Tosfos. So it's a background, the brachos also a little bit, but it's not. To what bracha you make on pizza, keep on hanging in there, keeping the suspense going. Those sugyas will come, hopefully, eventually. If we're still learning the prayer, but don't forget this part. But the next sugya, too, is a little bit off brachas per se, but still it's a fascinating sugya. So let's see what's open.
If you benched already, maybe you have to bench again. Are you still speaking to the Lord Nishalom again?
Right, but the din is that it shouldn't be a bracha too. If you're ready to be a derech bracha, it should only be when it's something that's really necessary.
And then sometimes you might have like thoughts in your head, I don't know, just...